This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to manage a mediation where one party is representing a corporate entity and the other is an individual. A field-tested process for mediating when power and stakes are unevenly matched. In short, corporate mediation skills matter most when a power gap between parties is at its widest. When one side has legal resources, institutional processes, and trained representatives, and the other is a single person, procedural fairness is not a courtesy, it is the foundation the whole process rests on. Verify decision-making authority before the session begins, not during it. Use private caucuses to level the emotional and informational playing field. Write any agreement in plain language both parties genuinely understand before they sign. Definition: corporate mediation skills are the techniques a neutral mediator applies when one party is an organization and the other is a private individual. They address power imbalance, representative authority, emotional regulation, and procedural fairness to create conditions where a durable, informed agreement is possible. A senior manager I worked with years ago sat down to mediate a dispute between a large retail company and a former employee. The company sent two people, a composed HR director and an in-house legal advisor. The former employee came alone, visibly anxious, holding a folder of handwritten notes. The mediator opened the joint session, gave both parties equal time to speak, and called it fair. It was not fair. Within 20 minutes, the individual had agreed to terms she did not fully understand, and 6 months later the whole thing unraveled because the agreement was unenforceable in the form she had signed. The manager told me later, "I treated equal process as though it meant identical process. I was wrong." Corporate mediation skills are not a variation of standard mediation. They are a distinct discipline. The moment one party is an institution and the other is a person, the dynamics of the room change in ways that can quietly undermine everything you're trying to do. This article gives you a working process for managing that imbalance and reaching agreements that hold. Why this type of mediation is harder than it looks. The difficulty is not usually hostility. It is asymmetry. A corporate representative has typically done this before. They understand the process, they have a prepared position, and they know the organization's limits. They may have legal counsel sitting beside them, or a brief prepared by people who have spent days on this case. The individual across the table may never have sat in a formal dispute process before in their life. That gap creates a distorted session before a single word is spoken. The individual may withhold their real concerns because they feel outmatched. They may agree to things they do not fully understand because the corporate language sounds authoritative. Or they may become combative to compensate for feeling small, which shuts down productive dialogue. If you do not account for these dynamics in your preparation and your process, your corporate mediation skills are working against you, not for you. What must be in place before the session starts? Two conditions are non-negotiable. Without them, do not begin. First, confirm that the corporate representative has actual decision-making authority, not the authority to recommend, not the authority to report back, the authority to agree. If the person in the room must refer every proposed term to a manager who's not present, you're conducting a consultation, not a mediation. Ask this question directly in your pre-session communication. Are you authorized to reach a binding agreement on the day? If the answer is no, reschedule with someone who is. Second, meet privately with the individual before the joint session. This is not optional. Give them a clear explanation of the process, how long it will run, what a caucus is, and that they can ask to pause at any time. Ask them what they most need from the outcome. Let them hear their own voice in a calm setting before they are in the room with the institution they are in conflict with. This preparation is the single most effective thing you can do to reduce the power imbalance. If you want a deeper framework for managing conflict that is fracturing relationships before it reaches formal mediation, how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy is worth reading alongside this process. The mediation process. 7 steps for unequal parties. Step 1. Open with ground rules that protect process, not positions. Begin the joint session by establishing the rules of the room. State them clearly and ask both parties to confirm they accept them before anything else happens. The rules should include one person speaks at a time, no interruptions. Each party will have uninterrupted time to present their view, and either party may request a private caucus at any point. These rules are not procedural formality. They're your primary tool for leveling the dynamic. When a corporate representative attempts to speak over the individual, or when legal language begins to dominate the room, the ground rules give you a neutral basis to interrupt without taking sides. You might say, let me bring us back to our agreement. We said one speaker at a time. I want to make sure we hear this fully before we respond. Step 2. Conduct separate opening statements before joint dialogue. After ground rules, ask each party to give an uninterrupted opening statement describing their perspective on the situation. The individual speaks first. This is a deliberate choice. In most corporate disputes, the organization has already produced written documents, correspondence, or formal processes that have shaped how the conflict is framed. The individual has rarely had a formal opportunity to speak without interruption or consequence. Giving them the floor first signals that this space operates differently. It also allows you to observe how the corporate representative listens, which tells you a great deal about how the day will go. Do not allow the other party to take notes visibly during the opening statement. It signals evaluation rather than listening, and it changes how the speaker speaks. Ask both parties to simply listen. Step 3. Use private caucuses to surface real interests. After the joint openings, move to separate caucuses before any negotiation begins. Meet with each party privately. Your goal in the caucus is not to gather ammunition. It is to understand what each party actually needs beneath the position they have stated. In my experience, a corporate position often masks a concern about precedent. The organization is not just resolving this dispute. It is trying to resolve it without opening a door to 12 others. Say to the representative, if we could design an outcome that addressed your core concern, what would it need to include? That question separates the position from the interest every time. With the individual, explore what outcome would genuinely allow them to move forward. Often, it is not the number on the settlement. It is acknowledgement, clarity, or the cessation of a specific behavior. Understanding this changes what you bring back to the joint session entirely. This skill, identifying what sits beneath a stated position, is also central to how to resolve interpersonal tension through empathy, which offers a useful companion framework. Step 4. Reframe positions as shared problems in the joint session. When you return to the joint session, do not report what each party told you in private. That breaks confidentiality and trust. Instead, use what you learned to reframe the conversation. Rather than, party A wants X and party B wants Y, say, it sounds like both parties want a resolution that is sustainable and clear. Let us explore what that would look like. Reframing moves the room from opposition to problem-solving. It is one of the most practical corporate mediation skills you can develop, and it requires you to listen in caucus not for positions, but for the language of underlying needs. If a position is stated aggressively, reflect it back in neutral terms. Corporate representative. She violated the terms of her contract. You reframe. There is a concern about whether the agreement was honored. Let us put that on the table as something we need to address. Step 5. Address the power gap directly when necessary. Sometimes the imbalance becomes visible mid-session. The individual begins to shut down. Their answers become shorter. They stop making eye contact. They start agreeing to things before the implications have been fully explained. When you see this, call a caucus immediately. Do not wait. In the private session, ask the individual directly, are you following everything that has been proposed? Is there anything you want me to slow down or explain before we continue? Give them permission to say they are lost without shame. You may also need to say to the corporate representative privately, I need the proposals put forward in plain language. If we use terms the other party does not fully understand, any agreement we reach today will be fragile. Most experienced corporate representatives will accept this. It protects them too for situations where tension escalates beyond what a standard session can contain. How to de-escalate arguments during meetings covers techniques that translate directly into the mediation room. Step 6. Build the agreement in plain language. When both parties have reached a point of provisional agreement, do not rush to document it. Slow down. Read each proposed term aloud. After each one, ask both parties, does that accurately reflect what you have agreed to? Not is that acceptable. That is a different question. Write the agreement in the simplest language possible. The company will pay the individual £2,000 within 14 days is better than the organization will remit the agreed settlement sum within the specified timeframe. Plain language is not a courtesy to the individual. It is the standard that makes the agreement enforceable and prevent disputes about what was meant. If the corporate representative drafts the agreement, review it line by line with the individual present before anyone signs. Give the individual sufficient time to read it themselves. If they want to take it away and return tomorrow, honour that request. Step 7. Close with clarity and a defined follow-up. Once both parties have signed, state clearly what happens next. Who holds a copy? Who is responsible for the first action item? Is there a review date if the agreement involves ongoing obligations? Durable agreements do not end at the signature. They end when both parties know exactly what the first step looks like. Say, we are in agreement. The company will do X by this date. You will do Y by that date. I will send both parties a written summary within 24 hours. Then do it. A clean close also matters for the relationship between the parties going forward. Even if the relationship is ending, how it ends shapes what each party says about the process afterward. Closing with clarity is how you earn respect for the work you have done. When the corporate party sends a legal representative, this variation changes the session in one significant way. A solicitor or in-house counsel is trained to speak in terms of liability, precedent, and risk. That language can feel alienating and even threatening to an individual who came to be heard, not prosecuted. You have the right, as mediator, to ask the legal representative to step outside the professional register for the purposes of the session. Say it directly. In this room, I'm going to ask that we all speak as plainly as possible. Legal framing is useful in courts. Here, it tends to close down conversation rather than open it. Most legal professionals will accept this when it is stated without challenge to their expertise. If the individual does not have representation and the corporation does, consider whether the session should proceed that day at all. You are not a lawyer and you cannot give legal advice, but you can acknowledge the gap and suggest the individual take a brief adjournment to seek independent advice before agreeing to anything. That suggestion costs nothing and protects the integrity of your process. For context on managing conflict when one party holds more institutional power, tension management tips for navigating conflict between a team member and an external stakeholder covers the same dynamic in a slightly different setting. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where mediators go wrong in these sessions. Three mistakes appear consistently. Each one has a clear correction. The mistake, treating procedural equality as fairness. Why it happens? Mediators are trained to be neutral, and neutrality gets confused with identical treatment of both parties. What to do instead? Fairness in an unequal situation means adjusting your process to compensate for the imbalance. Give the individual more preparation time. Use more caucuses. Check in more frequently. This is not bias. It is competence. The mistake. Allowing the session to run too long without a break. Why it happens. Momentum feels productive. Breaks feel like interruptions. What to do instead? Call a break every 90 minutes at maximum, and sooner if either party shows signs of fatigue or emotional overwhelm. An exhausted individual will agree to almost anything to end the session. That is not resolution. It is capitulation. The mistake. Accepting a vague agreement to close the session. Why it happens. Both parties say yes, and the mediator is relieved to be near the end. What to do instead? Every term must be specific. We will work together better going forward is not an agreement. The company will provide a written apology within 7 days, and the individual will return to their role on the agreed start date as an agreement. Precision is what makes the thing hold. The damage done by agreements that later collapse is significant. How to rebuild trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship is useful reading for situations where a previous attempt at resolution has made things worse rather than better. When disputes arise inside meetings before they reach formal mediation, how to handle conflict during meetings gives you the in-the-moment tools to contain them early. Your pre-session checklist for corporate and individual mediations. Use this before every session involving a corporate and individual party. Number 1. Confirm in writing that the corporate representative holds decision-making authority. Number 2. Schedule a private pre-session meeting with the individual party, minimum 30 minutes. Number 3. Prepare a one-page plain language summary of the process to give the individual before they enter the room.
Number 4.
Draft your ground rules in advance and be prepared to enforce them without apology.
Number 5.
Identify the core interests of each party from pre-session conversations separate from their stated positions.
Number 6.
Prepare 2 or 3 neutral refrains of the likely opening position so you're not constructing them under pressure in the room.
Number 7.
Have a blank agreement template ready, written in plain English, that you can complete by hand during the session if needed.
Number 8.
Know your adjournment trigger the specific sign, whether emotional shutdown, legal posturing, or vague agreement language, that will prompt you to call a break. For the tension management dimension of the work you do before formal mediation becomes necessary, how to use the deal method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates is a practical companion to this process. The standard you are holding. Corporate mediation skills are ultimately about one thing: protecting the integrity of a process so that both parties can make genuinely informed decisions. The corporate entity will survive this dispute whatever the outcome. For the individual, this may be one of the most consequential conversations of their professional life. That asymmetry does not make you an advocate for the individual.
It makes you the guardian of a process that serves both. Here is the truth of it. The agreement you reach is only as strong as the process that produced it.
If the individual felt heard, understood what they agreed to, and made a free choice, the resolution will hold. If any one of those conditions was absent, you have not mediated.
You have managed a capitulation.
Your corporate mediation skills exist to ensure that never happens. Frequently asked questions. What are corporate mediation skills? Corporate mediation skills are the specific techniques a mediator uses when one party is an organization and the other is an individual. They include managing power imbalance, verifying representative authority, maintaining procedural fairness, and structuring dialogue so both parties can engage on equal terms. How do you manage power imbalance in corporate mediation? You manage power imbalance by setting clear ground rules before the session begins, conducting private caucuses with each party separately, reframing positional demands as underlying interests, and ensuring the individual understands any settlement terms before agreeing to them. Fairness of process is your most important tool.
What should a mediator do if the corporate representative lacks decision-making authority?
Stop the session early and ask directly whether the representative can agree to terms or must refer back to senior leadership. If they cannot make binding decisions, reschedule with someone who can.
Proceeding without decision-making authority wastes everyone's time and damages trust in the process.
How do you prepare an individual party for corporate mediation? Meet with the individual privately before the joint session.
Help them articulate their core interests, not just their demands.
Explain the process clearly so the formal setting does not intimidate them. Encourage them to bring notes or a support person if permitted, and confirm they understand they can pause at any time.
What is a caucus in mediation, and when should you use it?
A caucus is a private meeting between the mediator and one party, held separately from the other.
Use it when emotions are running high, when a party is reluctant to speak candidly in a joint session, or when you need to reality test a position without embarrassing either side in front of the other.
How do you write a mediation agreement that will actually hold? Write the agreement in plain, specific language both parties genuinely understand.
State what each party will do, by when, and how.
Avoid legal jargon that obscures meaning.
Read the key terms aloud before signing.
Give both parties a copy immediately.
Vague agreements collapse at the first sign of pressure.
Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.